apart, his face and limbs hideously contorted. The floor and walls of the room are spattered with blood. There are no wounds on his body. The scarlet thread of murder runs through the colorless skein of life, and our duty is to unravel it and isolate it and expose every inch of it.
A Study in Scarlet by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, dramatized in two parts by Bert Cools, with Clive Merrison as Sherlock Holmes and Michael Williams as Dr. John Watson. A Study in Scarlet, Part 2, The Country of the Saints.
After much fruitless racking of my brain, I had finally discovered that my new fellow lodger, Sherlock Holmes, a man of singular talents, enthusiasms, and areas of ignorance, was, in fact, what he termed a consulting detective. "I have it in me," he told me modestly, "to make my name famous." All he lacked was the proper opportunity. I was convinced, though Holmes was not, that this opportunity had at last arrived with the invitation by no less a personage than Inspector Tobias Gregson of Scotland Yard to investigate the bizarre murder of one Enoch J. Drebber. On the day following the killing, the papers were full of the Brixton mystery.
Listen to this one. Hmm? The German name of the murdered man, the absence of all other motive, and the sinister inscription, Raka, Revenge, written upon the wall, all point to political refugees and revolutionists, the socialists of many branches in America.
Don't tell me. The Daily Telegraph.
Very good, Watson. The piece also mentions the Weingericht, Aqua Tofana, the Carbonari, the Marchioness of Ronvilliers, the Darwinian theory, the principles of Malthus, and the Radcliffe Highway murders. What do you have?
The Standard. Lawless outrages of this sort usually occur under a liberal government. They arise from the unsettling of the minds of the masses and the consequent weakening of all authority.
Very true.
And some new facts.
Oh, good heavens.
The deceased was an American gentleman.
Oh, that's hardly new. Even Lestrade and Gregson discovered that.
Who had been residing at the boarding house of Madame Charpentier in Camberwell with his private secretary, Mr. Joseph Stangerson. So, the mysterious Stangerson has been identified.
Someone's been busy. Probably Gregson. We are glad to learn that Mr. Gregson and Mr. Lestrade of Scotland Yard are both engaged on the case. It is confidently anticipated that these two well-known officers will speedily throw light on the matter.
Which one's that?
Daily News. I told you that whatever happened, those two would be certain to score.
That depends on how it turns out.
Oh, bless you. It doesn't matter in the least. If the man is caught, it'll be on account of their exertions. If he escapes, it'll be in spite of their exertions. A fool can always find a bigger fool to admire him, as the old French poet said.
Holmes?
My dear fellow?
You seem highly delighted by that telegram this morning. What was in it?
The name of the murderer. Should we order some more toast?
Mr. Holmes.
Mrs. Hudson, have you added mind reading to your many other accomplishments?
Mr. Holmes, I really must protest. What do you think you're doing inviting me?
Come on, go see
Mr. Holmes!
Attention!
Mr. Holmes, in all my years I have never witnessed such a display.
Silence in the ranks. Mrs. Hudson, may I present the Baker Street Division of the Detective Police Force. In future, you must wait in the street. Wiggins, you can come up alone to report.
Yes, sir.
Now, was there anything else, Mrs. Hudson?
There was not.
Right. Have you found it yet?
No, sir, we ain't.
Well, you must keep on until you do. Here are your wages.
Go
and bring back a better report next time.
Yes, sir. All right, you lot, come on. Hold it. Put them back, Vicky.
I ain't got nothing.
Vicky. That's better. So long, gents.
Yeah.
Ah, there's more work to be got out of those little beggars than out of a dozen of the regular force. They can go everywhere and hear everything. All they want is organization.
You're employing them on this Brixton case?
Yes, there's something I want to track down. It's only a matter of time.
Do you really know the name of the murderer?
Oh, hello. We're going to hear some news now with a vengeance. Here's Gregson coming down the road with beatitude written upon every feature of his face. It's all right, Mrs. Hudson. The gentleman's expected.
My dear Holmes, congratulate me. I've made the whole thing as clear as day. Doctor.
Good morning. Do you mean that you're on the right track?
The right track? Why, sir, I have the man under lock and key.
And his name?
Arthur Charpentier.
Take a seat, Gregson. Try one of these cigars. Yes, we're anxious to know how you managed it, aren't we, Watson?
Well, yes.
Of course we are.
The fun of it is that foolish trade has gone off on the wrong track altogether. He's chasing after the secretary, Stangerson. But he had no more to do with a cry than a babe unborn. Lestrade's probably arrested him by now.
My dear Gregson.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Holmes.
How exactly did you get your clue?
Well, now, I'll tell you all about it. Yeah, of course, gentlemen, this is strictly between ourselves.
Of course.
Well, the first difficulty was the tracing of this Drebber's movements prior to his murder. Now, you may not remember it, but there was a hat lying beside the body.
Yes, made by John Underwood and Sons, 129 Camberwell Road.
Oh, I'd no idea you'd notice that. Have you been there?
No.
You should never neglect a clue, however small it may seem.
To a great mind, nothing is little.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I went to Underwood and Sons and had them check back in their books. Now, that hat was bought by a Mr. Drebber and was delivered. That's how I got his address.
Smart, very smart.
I called upon Madame Charpentier. You know that feeling, Mr. Holmes, when you come upon the right scent, a kind of thrill in your nerves?
I do indeed.
Yes. May I help you?
I found her very pale and distressed. I began to smell a rat.
Mother, who is it?
The daughter also looked extremely red about the eyes. I determined to be direct with them.
I am a police officer. Have you heard of the mysterious death of your late boarder, Mr. Enoch J. Drebber?
Admirably direct, Gregson.
Yes. Yes, we have. From the evening paper.
Oh, it's quite exciting. What happened next?
At what o'clock did Mr. Drebber leave your establishment yesterday?
At 8 o'clock.
And was that the last you saw of him?
Yes. No. No, it wasn't.
Alice, no good can ever come of falsehood, Mother. Let us be frank with this gentleman. We did see Mr. Drebber again.
God forgive you. You have murdered your brother.
I persuaded Madame Charpentier to make a clean breast of the facts. Now, apparently, this Drebber was a bit of a bad lot, and he and Stangerson were ordered off the premises. Drebber had returned roaring drunk and made obscene advances towards her daughter. This was witnessed by the son, Arthur Charpentier, who soundly trounced the American and threw him out of the house.
Surely, Inspector, that's exactly what one would have expected in the
room. Yes, Doctor, of course. But then this Arthur followed Drebber out into the street to send him on his way. Now, both the mother and the daughter clearly heard the son's words.
And they were?
I mean it, Drebber, I'll kill you. The son didn't return to the house until the early hours of the morning.
What is his version of events?
Oh, some cock and bull story about just walking away and leaving Drebber lying in the gutter.
Were there any witnesses?
No, none we can trace. Oh, Charpentier thinks he may have heard a cab.
Oh, well done, Gregson. This is vital information. You really are getting along. We shall make something of you yet.
I flatter myself that I've managed it rather neatly. The whole case fits together uncommonly well.
Did you say you've arrested Charpentier?
Yes, late last evening. No doubt he'll sing a different song after spending the night as a guest of Her Majesty.
Perhaps.
Oh, I can't wait to see that fool Lestrade's face.
Come in, Lestrade.
Yeah, what?
Inspector Lestrade, gentlemen.
Oh, by Jove.
Thank you, Mrs. Hudson.
Good morning, Mr. Holmes. Gentlemen,
Is the thing all right, Inspector? Oh,
this is a most extraordinary case. A most incomprehensible affair.
Oh, you think so, do you, Lestrade? Have you managed to find the secretary, Mr. Joseph Stangerson?
The secretary, Mr. Joseph Stangerson, was murdered about 6 o'clock this morning.
Stangerson murdered too? Are you sure?
Extremely sure. It was I who discovered the body at Halliday's private hotel, Gower Street.
Take a seat, Lestrade.
Thank you. I knew that both Americans were intending to sail home from Liverpool, and I reasoned that Stangerson might still be planning to do so. That meant taking a Euston train. I and my men made inquiries at all the private hotels in the area of the station.
But there must be over 100.
Yes, but I tracked him down about 7 o'clock this morning.
It's very early, sir.
He'll see me.
Are you the gentleman he's been expecting, then?
I doubt it. Which room is it?
Here we are, sir. Number 23.
Right. You can go now. Oh, God!
What's the matter?
Have you got a pass key?
Look, what's going on? Who are you?
I'm a police officer. Stand back!
What? Oh, my God!
I'd seen something that made me feel sick, in spite of my 20 years' experience. A little red ribbon of blood was flowing out from under the door. It had meandered across the passage and formed a pool along the skirting at the other side.
And inside the room?
The window was open, and beside it, all huddled up, was the body of a man lying in a pool of blood. The porter identified him as Stangerson. But the strangest part of the whole affair, what do you suppose was above the murdered man?
The word Raka, written in letters of blood.
Exactly as before.
Was everything the same, Lestrade?
Not quite. This one had been stabbed.
Stabbed?
A deep wound in the left side.
Stabbed. Something must have gone wrong.
Oh, I've arrested an innocent man. My suspect was under lock and key at the very moment the real villain was killing again.
Don't reproach yourself, Gregson. Your case was basically quite sound.
This time, the murderer was seen.
You have a witness?
Yes. A milk boy saw a man climbing down a ladder at the back of the hotel. He was so open about it that the lad took him for a workman.
Did you get a description?
The man was unusually tall, well-built, and had a reddish face, exactly as you said he would be, Mr. Holmes.
Yes. Did you find anything significant in the room?
Nothing. Stangerson's cases were packed. They'd been sent to the yard. There were just a few items lying loose. Here. One cheap novel, which was open on the bedside table. One pipe and one box of matches. They were on a chair. The only other thing was a small ointment box containing a couple of pills. Here.
The last link. My case is complete.
There you are, old girl. Easy. You won't have to put up with me much longer, I reckon. Ready? Well, off we go, then.
Hey, Cabby! Wait, mister!
Hold, girl.
Oh, thanks, mister.
What do you want, boy?
The governor in the office said your name's Hope. Jefferson Hope.
Well, what if it is?
Is a gent got a job for you? Good money in it, he said.
What, is some kind of joke?
No, honest, mister.
It better not be. All right, where does he live, this gent of yours?
Baker Street, 221B, Baker Street.
Here's the poor creature, Doctor. You can see he's suffering. I told the maid I'd ask you to put him out of his misery. She's down there now, sobbing her heart out. She really loves this old dog.
Don't worry, Mrs. Hudson. He won't suffer much longer.
Thank you, sir. I'll go and tell the girl.
Easy, boy. Oh, poor old fellow.
Now, look, Mr. Holmes, what exactly is all this about? Why have you sent for this animal?
Patience, my friend. I now have in my hands all the threads which have formed such a tangle. I am as certain of the main facts as if I had seen them with my own eyes. I will give you a proof of my knowledge. Doctor, are these ordinary pills? Here.
No, they're not. They're unusually light and transparent. Probably soluble in water.
I couldn't really say any more without a proper analysis.
I believe we have a quicker method to hand. I shall cut one of the pills in two and put one half safely back in its box. Now, we put a little water in this saucer. Then you will perceive that the doctor is right, and the half pill readily dissolves in it.
Mr. Holmes, this may be very interesting, but I cannot see what it has to do with this case.
It has everything to do with it. I shall now add a little milk to the mixture to make it palatable. Now, on presenting it to the dog, we find that he laps it up quickly enough. Now,
Holmes? If you'll excuse us, Mr. Holmes, my colleague and I have a murderer to track down.
Wait! It can't be a coincidence. It's impossible that it should be a coincidence. The very pills which I suspected in the case of Drebber are actually found after the death of Stangerson, and yet they're inert. What can it mean? What can it mean? I have it. I have it. The other pill. The other pill. Cut it in two. More water. Yes, dissolve it. Milk. Stir. Here you are, boy. Try this. Look, Watson. Look, Gregson, Lestrade.
What's the matter with the animal?
Ha-ha! It's dead! It's dead!
My God!
Good Lord.
Poor creature. Of the two pills in the box, one was the most deadly poison and the other was entirely harmless. Oh, I ought to have known that before ever I saw the box at all.
I'll have that pill box back, if you please.
Now, look here, Mr. Holmes. We are all ready to acknowledge that you're a smart man and have your own methods of working, but we want something more than theory and preaching now.
It's a question of taking the man. Gregson made his case out and he was wrong. I went after my man, Stangerson, and I was wrong too. You've thrown out hints here and hints there, but can you name the man who did it?
Any delay in arresting the killer might give him time to strike again.
The doctor's quite right, sir.
There will be no more murders. You can put that consideration out of the question. You ask me if I know the name of the assassin. I do.
Then it's your duty to...
The mere knowing of his name is a small thing, however, compared with the power of laying our hands upon him.
Give us the name, Mr. Holmes.
If this man gains the slightest suspicion that the official force is onto him, he would change his name and vanish in an instant. You would be powerless to trace him.
And now look here, sir. This is not good enough. You must give us the name.
No. I cannot. Yes.
What is it, Mrs. Hudson?
Someone for you, Mr. Holmes.
Beg pardon, sir.
Oh, really?
Yes, Wiggins.
I've got a cab downstairs.
Oh, good boy. Here.
Oh, thanks, sir.
The cabman may as well help me with the boxes, sir. Ask him to step up, Wiggins.
Yeah, right away, sir.
What's this about, Mr. Holmes?
I hope you're not planning to leave the capital.
Doctor, be so good as to fetch my handcuffs.
Your handcuffs?
In my writing desk, right-hand drawer.
Oh, certainly. Here you are.
Mr. Holmes.
Why don't you introduce this pattern at Scotland Yard? Look, they fasten in an instant.
The old pattern's quite good enough, if we can only find the right pair of wrists to put them on.
Very good, very good. Excuse me, gentlemen, while I just strap up this portmanteau.
Mr. Holmes?
Ah, cabby. Just give me a help with this buckle, would you?
Move aside, sir. Now let me do it.
What? Gentlemen, let me introduce you to Mr. Jefferson Hope, the murderer of Enoch Drebber and of Joseph Stangerson.
No!
Stop him!
No, you don't. Hold him still. I've got his legs.
I've got him. Now, Mr. Hope, I have no desire to do so. I assure you that I'm quite capable of breaking your arm if you render it necessary.
You let me go. I know any odds against me.
Very well. These two gentlemen are police officers. And as soon as one of them regains his breath, I'd rather fancy you're going to find yourself under arrest. Are you all right up there, Lestrade?
Everything well under control.
If he ever leaves the force, he's got a second career ready and waiting.
I heard that.
Are you in much pain?
No worse. Mr. Holmes, is it?
Sherlock Holmes.
Well, Mr. Sherlock Holmes, if there's a vacant place for a chief of the police, I reckon you're the man for it.
It's quite enough from you, Hope.
Really, Gregson? It was the ring that gave it to me, of course. That and the wheel marks in the mud of the Brixton Road. If that night had been dry, I never would have found you, Hope.
Can't we save this till we get to the yard, Mr. Holmes?
The marks in the road showed me that the horse had wandered on slightly between arriving and departing. Now, that would never have happened if anyone had been in charge of it. It was clear from the footprints that only two men were ever there, so it followed that the driver of the cab was also the murderer.
But how the devil did you know my name?
As I said, through the ring. It was a question of motive. Despite your clumsy attempt to implicate German radicals, it was clear that the murderer...
The papers had been full of secret societies and the like. I thought it might throw you off the scent.
Well, it didn't. Carry on, Mr. Holmes.
Political assassins are only too glad to do their work and to fly, whereas this murder had been done most deliberately. So it was a private matter. Now, since a woman is usually involved somewhere in these affairs, the ring merely confirmed what I'd already decided.
I wanted the last thing that villain saw to be Lucy's ring. The ring he forced on her finger.
Keep it for the official statement, Hope.
So, Gregson, I did what you neglected to do.
What?
I telegraphed the Cleveland police for information concerning Drebber and trouble over any woman. The answer was conclusive. He had once applied for the protection of the law against one Jefferson Hope, a rival in love.
Love! Love! I wish I could have seen him die. Ten times over!
Let me examine you.
Leave me alone.
Come on, man.
I do what you like.
We must get to Scotland Yard as quickly as we can. This man is seriously ill.
How long have you known?
It's been getting worse for years.
Have you seen a doctor recently?
Last week.
What did he tell you?
What do you think he told me?
I'm afraid he was quite correct.
Oh, what do I care? I've done my work.
Look, Doctor, what exactly is all this about?
Mr. Hope has an aortic aneurysm.
Oh. What does that mean?
It means, Gregson, that he could die at any moment.
Good Lord. Is that right, Doctor?
Yes, quite right. It's a failure of the main blood vessel leading from the heart. It swells up and eventually bursts. There's no cure.
I got it from overexposure and underfeeding. The Salt Lake Mountains. I don't care how soon I go, but I should like to leave an account of this affair behind me. I don't want to be remembered as a common cutthroat.
Lestrade, what do you think?
Well, he's obviously seriously ill. If we take a statement from him now, it's quite likely to be thrown out of court as unreliable.
Or coerced. On the other hand...
Exactly.
Jefferson Hope, I am Inspector Tobias Gregson, and this gentleman is Inspector Giles Lestrade. You are at liberty to make your statement to us, but I am obliged to warn you that it will be taken down and may be presented in evidence at your trial.
Very well. I'm on the brink of the grave. I'm not likely to lie to you. Every word I say is the absolute truth. I have to start some 40 years ago. In the whole world, I doubt if there's a more dreadful place than the great Central American desert. It's not only with death, desolation. But if you'd been there, gentlemen, on one particular day all those years back, you'd have seen something moving. Something alive.
Hush, child, hush. Shh. That's it. There's no sense in crying now, child. It ain't gonna help.
The man's name was John Ferrier. The child was called Lucy.
Shh, baby, shh. We'll find a river by and by.
John Ferrier told me once that he carried that baby 3 days, 3 nights across the plains. Both their parents were dead, along with the rest of the wagon train. And he looked after her like she was his own. But they never did find that river.
Here, drink this.
slowly. Just a sip. That's it.
A baby.
She's asleep. Peaceful as you like. God be praised.
Amen.
Amen.
Shh. Don't try to speak. You're safe now.
Safe? What are you people doing in this wilderness? Who are you?
We are the persecuted children of God, the chosen ones of the angel Moroni. We are the people of the holy Joseph Smith and his prophet.
God in heaven, you're the Mormons.
We are the Mormons.
10,000 of them there were, trekking across the desert, looking for their promised land. And they found John Ferrier and the babe. I suppose you'd have to call it a miracle. As soon as he was able to walk, he was taken to one particular wagon. It was bigger and finer than the rest.
Welcome, John Ferrier. I have been told your story by Brother Stangerson, who found you, and to whom you owe your life and that of the child.
I'm grateful to him, to all of you. Are you the leader?
We are led by the hand of God.
Amen.
Of course.
If we take you with us, it can only be as believers in our own creed. We shall have no wolves in our fold. Will you come with us on these terms?
I guess I'll come with you on any terms.
Brother Stangerson?
Prophet.
Let it be your task to teach him our holy creed.
Come, Brother Ferrier. You're in my care now. My wives will see to your needs.
Brother Stangerson.
Remember, but now and forever you are one of us. Brigham Young has said it, and he speaks with the voice of Joseph Smith, which is the voice of God.
I guess we can skip a good few years. John Ferrier recovered from his ordeal well enough. Distinguished himself as a guide, hunter. Lucy, well, I'll come to Lucy in a minute or so. When they finally stopped their wanderings, Ferrier was granted as good a stretch of land as any of the men, save Young, of course, and excepting the four elders, Kemble, Johnson, Stangerson, and Drebber. His name was known, respected, but for all the respect, there was one thing about John Ferrier that offended the rest of the Mormons.